Welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Writers Toolshed, and Happy New Year. I hope you had a lovely festive break, and over that break, you may have been setting goals and challenges for yourself when it comes to writing for the months ahead, which is always a nice thing to do. Just don't make them too difficult, because that'll just put you off and dissuade you, and that's a hard lesson that I've learned. In this first episode of 2026, we're going to be looking at email marketing. This is something that a few listeners have requested. It's something that I know a little bit about. And what we're going to be looking at specifically is why email marketing still matters, probably more than anything else, when it comes to selling your books and connecting with your readers. We're going to look at how to set it up, such as the platforms to use, what open rates and click rates are and how to improve them, what you can email people about, when the best times are to send, how to set up automations, and ultimately how to write engaging emails. We're also going to look at how to grow your mailing list once you've got it all set up. And towards the end, we're going to look at email marketing in 2026. And I'm going to share some really cool little things that I've picked up over the last few months that you can use to really take your emails to the next level, help them stand out, boost the engagement. And we're also going to look at some potential changes. And there's some potentially big changes happening, especially to email inboxes surrounding the use of AI. Before we dive in, just a quick reminder that if you haven't already done so, you can join our Discord community. It's a private community that you can access through Patreon. Just head over to the link in the description here. And as well as joining the community, you can gain access to writing classes on fantasy writing, as well as books on writing fantasy as well, and lots of guides. That'll give you a bit of a boost when it comes to writing your stories. I've got a lot of really interesting topics lined up for the year ahead. And to help me talk about all of them things, I've invited some really exceptional guests. I've gone all out this year. We're going to be covering things like writing as a business, how to create fantasy maps, how to write query letters. I'm going to be speaking, hopefully, to Chill Subs about getting published. And we're going to be looking at how to create a successful Patreon platform with someone who earns over £5,000 a month just through the writing. So lots lined up. And if you want to get early access to episodes, plus all them extras that I mentioned before, then Patreon is the place to go. Just head over there and you can subscribe today. So I think the first question to ask is whether email marketing is still worth it in 2026. We're in an age now of social media, of video form content, and a lot of visual engaging things that are dynamic and happening very quickly. Emails just aren't really like that. And it makes me wonder whether there will be a change in the way people interact with their emails. But I've done a bit of research and I've got together as many different statistics as I can, especially statistics from these email platform providers who have access to all of the data. So some of the things that I was able to find, Opt-in Monster is a company you may have heard of before. They've put together some interesting statistics, which make me feel pretty certain that email marketing is not going anywhere. And if anything, it's the one place we should be focusing our efforts. So, I mean, one of the main reasons is 88% of email users, and of these users, there are 4.5 billion globally daily. They check their emails several times a day, and 99% of them check it at least once a day. Now, I don't know how many people use social media. I don't really like social media, so I'm not one of them people. I check my emails several times a day, yeah. I'm in that 99% club. And that is an awful lot of people, 4.5 billion. It's actually projected to grow to 4.9 billion by 2027 as the population grows and more people get access to the internet. So it is a dominant communication channel, especially for writers getting their messages across. One of the best things about email marketing is that it is a lot cheaper than the likes of paid advertising, and it has the potential to give a lot higher percentage return on investment. According to HubSpot, for every dollar spent, you get around $36 to $42 back. And the main reason why I think this is because it's quite simple. People have voluntarily given their personal information because they want to hear from you. You've extended an invite to them and they've accepted it. So they want to hear from your emails. Now, if you email them every day about nonsense, they're not going to want to hear that. We'll come on to what you can write about shortly. But there's an expectation on their part, is what I'm trying to say. And if you have books to sell, if you have merch, for example, these are the people that want to know about it. So that I always think when I first started trying to sell things for email, I had this real psychological worry that this isn't the kind of thing that people want to hear about. But the opposite is in fact true. So just getting that in your head, I think it really does help. And one thing that I love about emails, and it's probably one of the main reasons why I do it, is that it's not subject to the whims of algorithms on social media. I mean, I work in digital marketing and specifically search engine optimization, which has gone through an awful lot. It changes all the time. And it can be exhausting trying to keep up with all of these changes. And that's why I love email marketing, because it's more psychological. And that doesn't really change that much. What you're trying to do is, as we'll come to in a little bit later, is we're trying to build a relationship and connections with our readers. And you can't. I find it difficult to do that on social media, especially when you might be putting loads of time and effort into posts that just do not get served by algorithms for whatever reason. And the final thing I'll say in favor of email marketing is that if it didn't work, all of these big companies and these publishers that invest so much time and effort into getting your email address, they wouldn't bother. I mean, look at BookBub. BookBub has apparently a few million email subscribers. And they charge something ridiculous to get on the mailing list. And they wouldn't be able to do that unless it worked. And I know a lot of people who say it does work quite well. If you've got like the right book and the right cover, and it just all marries up nicely. But email marketing really does work. And for me personally this year, it is probably my number one focus. I've recently shifted all of my writing, the hub of my writing, to Patreon. And the main way to get traffic to your Patreon pages and your different posts is by email. Like whenever someone joins my email list now, they'll get an ebook sent to them straight away, which they can download for free if they subscribe on Patreon. And then subsequent emails are all driven to this goal of trying to get people signed up on Patreon and also just to engage and to start building a connection. Now, I don't want to spend too much time today on the setup and like what to write about and things like that. And the main reason for this is because, as well as this episode, you also get free access to a course I did on email marketing a couple of years ago. It's 90 minutes long. And I dive into all of this side of it in a lot more detail. And you can get access to that for free by clicking the link in the description. You can just watch it on YouTube. There's some free materials as well. You can also download the slides. And like I said, it's just all free. Click the link in the description. Go ahead and watch it. And you'll learn all about open rates, click rates, and things like that in a lot more depth. I'm still going to cover them now, but I'm just going to sort of breeze over them because I want to talk more about growth and the just the landscape in 2026? I'm just going to start from the beginning in case you've never done this before. And even if you have done it before, there's usually, like for me, I just used MailChimp and I don't really know an awful lot about the others. I know a little bit now. But you may be a bit like me. You may have just gone down one path and you might not really know about other options. So I feel it helps to go over everything. So when you're building an email list, it's generally good practice to use a dedicated platform. And the main reason for this is because you're handling people's personal data. And there are a lot of strict regulations now. Like I do legal marketing, so I know an awful lot about data breach law. And yeah, it could easily go wrong, especially if you're using spreadsheets and Gmail accounts to email people on your mailing list. It's very dangerous territory. For example, if you don't use blind carbon copy and you put everyone's email addresses in the normal recipient option, then you've committed a data breach. So, and you can get sued. So I prefer using platforms like MailChimp, like I mentioned, just because they're more secure and it's easier to store people's data and organize it as well. You can also do a lot of other things like we'll come on to later with automated emails. But some of these platforms that you can use, like MailChimp is the one I'm most familiar with. I love and hate it. It's got some good features. It's nice and easy to use. It's reliable. But there are like limitations to it. I don't like the analytics and it is a bit pricey. And the main thing to note when it comes to a lot of these platforms is that the bigger your email list is and the more emails you send out each month, the more you're going to pay. So just to give you an idea, I pay about $110 a month for mine, which is steep. That's over $1,000 a year, which means I have to work a little bit harder to pay that off. Another one is ConvertKit, which again was built specifically for creators and authors. It does have a free option, again, limited to small lists. And pay plans are a little bit more expensive than MailerLite, around £25 to £30. And there are a lot of other platforms beyond this. There's one called Brevo, I think I'm saying that correct. Brevo. This is a model that goes more by email volume than list size. Again, it has a free tier and paid plans start from around £15 a month. There's another platform called Klaviyo, which is spelled Klaviyo, which has very good automated features, especially if you're trying to sell books via an e-commerce site. It can be a bit overkill for many authors because it's more geared towards people who are selling direct. But if that is going to be part of your strategy for 2026, then have a look at Klaviyo. Active Campaign is another one that you may have heard of. It's a little bit difficult to use from what I've heard. And it's a bit pricey at about £25 to £30. You can pay extra for more features too, which annoys me. To be honest, just give us access to everything, be fair. There is another option called GetResponse. This one's a bit like MailChimp. It lets you create landing pages and all the automated features as well. That one's a little bit cheaper too, £15 to £20. And then another one that's new to market is Email Octopus. It's very budget friendly. It's more lightweight, less features, but it does have a free tier and paid subscription starts at just £8 a month, so not too bad at all. So for me, once you've got yourself set up, it's a matter of asking yourself a simple question. What is your goal? What is the ultimate objective behind the emails that you send? Now, I mentioned before, for me, I want to grow my Patreon as much as possible. That is my ultimate goal. And there's different ways that we can approach it and tackle that and try and contribute to that via the emails that we send. And that's what we're going to talk about next. But for you, just try and set a few goals. I mean, different emails can have different purposes. You can set multiple goals and build campaigns around those, especially if you're trying to plug different products that you've got, like an audiobook, an ebook, hardbacks. But the reason why I say this is because when it comes to working out what you're going to write to your mailing list about, it gives you structure. You've got clear goals. It's almost like creating a theme for your story. You know what the story is about, and your job is to create a series, a sequence of emails, which are just like a sequence of scenes, which are going to help you build up to that moment where they take the action that you want, which is maybe buying a book or signing up to Patreon. Let's move on to the emails themselves. There's two categories of emails. You've got email campaigns, which are sort of manual things that you send at a specific time, just on a one-off basis. And then you have your automated emails, which are designed to go out on certain days at certain times, based on when someone joined your mailing list. So, an example of that, if someone joins my mailing list, they'll immediately get a free ebook. A few days later, they'll get another email just sharing a bit more information about who I am and what kind of stories I like to write. And then I share another short story. And it carries on like that. And that all happens automatically, which is the beautiful thing about email marketing. And I'm not alone in thinking this. There are stats to back it up. Optin Monster in their 2025 review apparently found that automated emails can generate up to 320% more revenue than these one-off campaigns, because what you can do is you can tailor them based on people's interests. That they can tell you what they're interested in when they sign up, for example, via a contact form, and then you can send them what they want to hear, and it's just doing all automatically, and you can just be making money in the background selling your books. These welcome emails, especially when someone joins up, are very, very important, because in many cases, this is the first time that someone hears from you, and they want to know what they're going to get, what they're going to what to expect down the line. And GetResponse, who we mentioned before, they found in their review that these emails can get plus 80% open rates, which it's pretty damn high. So if you can make the most of that first email, which for me, I offer an ebook that they can get via sign up for free on Patreon, and that works really well because most people are reopening it. It's got a really high click rate, and then there's a greater chance then for people to sign up. So yeah, there's a couple of stats there which can give you a bit of an insight into why email marketing and specifically automations are so beneficial to you as an author, because our time is so limited, and if we could save as much as we can, then all the better, I say. And we're going to come on to more time-saving hacks when it comes to email marketing a bit later. Before I go into what we can write about, I just want to talk about open rate and click rate, which are the two key metrics that you're going to see when it comes to emails. The open rate is dictated by the subject line and less so by the preview line, because these are the two things that a person sees when your email lands in their inbox. Subject lines can be tricky. There are different approaches you can take to try and grab attention. If you're really not sure and you want to try different things, some email marketing platforms allow you to do this thing called A/B testing, which allows you to send basically two variations of your email to different groups of people, and you can see how people respond to different types of subject line. That's if you want to get really scientific about it. But it is really important to experiment, and the things that I've learned over time, these are the things that work really, really well you're getting sort of 45% plus open rates. One of the most basic things is an obvious things, which is probably better to say, is to just to offer something of value, especially think about things that your readers are going to want. So, for example, if you've got a reader magnet, like a free book that has a advert in the at the end of, for example, that allows people to get like an extra story or an associated story when you join your mailing list, then you could offer that as part of your email sequence. Question-based email subject lines are quite interesting. Just try and keep them related to the content. You can also make bold statements just to try and capture people's attention. You could try a bit of humor. Extending an invitation is an interesting one. Trying to be a bit more personable in your emails and, like, for example, using their name in the subject line, that's always going to get people's attention. Don't make them too long. There are limits to how long they can be. And remember, you're going to be sharing an inbox with potentially hundreds and thousands of other emails. And you've got to try and stand out a little bit. Some people use emojis. I like to use one emoji more in the preview line, so it's not the first thing people see, but it gives something a little bit extra to help it stand out. So speaking of the preview line, this is simply the bit that comes after the subject line. You'll see it in your inbox if you head over there and just check out some newsletters that you may have received. And this usually gives a little bit of a summary of what to expect or shares a little bit more information. You can also tie the intrigue that you've created in the subject line with the preview line. This is, like I said, where I use my emojis. I usually put an emoji at the beginning of the preview line as a little divider between the subject and the preview. And you can also use combinations. So if you're a bit more sort of vague and trying to pique curiosity in the subject line, in the preview line, you could be a bit more explicit about what they can expect. Just always include a preview line. It's well worth doing it. If you don't, inboxes just tend to pull random content from your email, which just doesn't really look that good and professional, to be honest. So that is the open rate. The other metric is click rate, and this is simply the percentage of users who click a link in the emails that you send. It's perhaps the best measure of engagement rate, because ultimately we want people to open emails and we want them more so to click on the things that we're trying to sell or trying to raise awareness of. Click rates are a lot lower than open rates. They usually hover around sort of sometimes as 1%, up to 5%. Sometimes if you can hit double figures on click rates, you're doing a very good job. I do have, I think my welcome email has about 12% click rate, and then I don't think many emails get as high as that. Maybe a few more get around 8-9%, and then the majority hover around sort of 4-5%. Don't expect everyone to be clicking on everything. I've got people who open every single email and have done so for 2 years and have never clicked a link. Some people just don't want to do it. But there are ways that you can encourage your readers to click things. So just by embedding lots more links into the text, or attaching links to like relevant text, using more buttons just to help things stand out. And you can also use HTML elements to jazz those buttons up and create designs around them. We'll talk more on this later. You can also use features. I call them psychological features, just to encourage people to take action there and then. So give them a bit of a fear of missing out. You can use limited time deals. And I've also seen people use countdown clocks, which have worked very successfully. Just remember that the first link usually gets the most clicks. So use that link wisely and position it in the right place. You don't want it to be in the first sentence, but probably in the first paragraph, first two paragraphs. And that's generally the best performing link. So always keep that in mind. So we've looked at click rates, open rates. Let's have a look at what to write about. And this was always a big challenge for me, until a few years ago when I really stepped away and had to think about like how to properly engage with people and how to build a relationship with them. And at the time, I was running an Irish pub, and I've coined this strategy, the pub landlord approach, as a result, because what I basically did was break down what I was doing in my job in this sort of real world, not a virtual world, like with emails, and try to distill it and then turn it into something that could work. Because running this pub, it was a challenge. It was an ugly building. It's not in a very nice area of the city, and it was my job to basically turn its fortunes around, which I was able to do in the end. But whenever people would come in for the first time, for example, I would do things that you can also apply to emails. So, for example, I would be very welcoming to them. I would obviously be warm, friendly, ask questions about them, be honest and open about who I was as well, and then offering things of value. So obviously, you want to offer good drinks at good prices when it comes to a pub. And then giving them little extras for free crisps, free snacks. And then basically to entertain, because a lot of people come to pubs to socialize and for a bit of entertainment. So be lighthearted, tell jokes, try and find common ground, just stay away from all the weirdos who talk about the odd subjects. And basically that's my approach. And over time, I was able to sort of foster relationships with all these local people and build a real community again. And that is what you want to try and do with your emails. It sounds crazy, but you are doing the same thing. So when someone joins, you want to send them a nice warm, welcoming, friendly email, thanking them, showing your gratitude, and then giving them something of value, which just creates like a strong foundation for the relationship. And then what you could talk about then is more about who you are. Be honest and open about your challenges, the things that you've found difficult, how you've overcome them. Talk about how this has inspired your writing. They want to know who you are, and if you're guarded and you're a bit closed off, people find it harder to engage. So that is important to keep in mind. Ask questions about them, because it's a two-way street. We want to engage with people. Something that I've found really beneficial is on Patreon now, whenever someone signs up for a paid subscription, I'll email them straight away, just thanking them and trying to strike up a conversation. Now, not everyone wants to do this, but I have ongoing conversations still now with several subscribers, and they've gone on to read everything I've written. Just because we're having more of a conversation about the stories, I'm able to direct them to different types of stories that they might like, and I feel like I'm building fans for life rather than just email subscribers. So this is the end game. This is what we want. So some example topics that you could write about. These are things that I've done as well and have worked really well. So just an email explaining why you'd write, what inspired you, and what kind of storyteller you are. Another email is something that you've struggled with, your biggest challenge, how you've overcome it. Offer free books, free stories, because who doesn't want free stuff? Asking them questions about what they like to read, being honest about the lowest points you've had as a writer. Talk about what you're working on right now. Always try and engage people with the future. Talk about things, show them behind the scenes. Be honest in terms of the realities of writing. Like, you don't always have to be too honest, but you can certainly reveal how much time and how much research you've done on stories. People appreciate that. Now, when you're coming up with these emails and when you're designing them, putting them together, I feel it's really important to be consistent. You're trying to create a brand around your name as an author, and you want people to know what to expect when they see an email land in their inbox. So just simple things for me go a long way. So pick color schemes, for example. Are you going to use certain colors for your headings or your paragraph tech, and your button's going to be certain colors. Just pick colors and stick to them, and it looks really professional then when you're sending them out. Same for fonts, especially if you're creating a series of automated emails. Try and keep everything consistent. A lot of people like to use different fonts for headings and then a different font for paragraph text. I think it looks quite well. There are lots of font pairing generators online, which are really quite fun to look at, to be honest. But just remember that email is quite limited, and I would always stick with the basic fonts, because most phones, for example, might not be able to load these nice jazzy fonts. So they'll just by default go to something like Arial. And if you don't like Arial, which it's a bit of an ugly font, to be honest, but if you don't like it, then that's what your emails are going to look like. And something I'd also add is just a logo. Well, if you haven't got one, try and get one made. Before the age of AI, I got my two logos made for the Fantasy Writers Toolshed and also for my personal writing by artists, because there was no option to get AI to do it. But I mean, if you haven't got a budget and you need something quick and fast, just something like a placeholder, something that you could replace later on with human artists, then you can just use AI and see what it comes up with. But just make sure it's a fair reflection of you, your writing. And think about the colours as well. Colours are very important psychologically. Don't use reds. Reds are a bit more of an alert. But like, an exception to that would be a grimdark, for example. I write a lot of grimdark, so using a sort of blood red button is almost quite appealing to fans of grimdark. So it all depends on your audience. So just have a think about what they're going to like more than anything, and let that inform your choices. Question a lot of people ask when it comes to emails is frequency. When should I send them? How often? Things like that. Now, some days are better to send emails than others. I send a lot of emails on Sundays. Now, inboxes are generally quiet on Sundays. People can be busy, but if you can hit them at the right time, Sundays are generally a bit of a quieter day. And when it comes to books, you're asking people to engage with something, to spend a bit of time looking at something and reading it. So if they're in the middle of the workday, for example, they might not have the time to do that. So I do like Sundays, but Monday to Thursday is considered like the peak times when people are at the most engaged, when they're actively checking inboxes, when they're not doing any social things. The times that you can send do vary depending on the day, but just try to put yourself in the shoes of your average reader. For example, like most people are going to be working between 9 and 5. So be sending an email before 9, maybe around 7 a.m. as they're getting up. People sometimes check the phones as they wake up, go through emails that they've been sent overnight. Then you've got like lunch times between 12, 2 p.m. and then after work between 5 and 7 p.m. You might notice when you check your own emails, like at certain times, you'll get loads and loads of emails. I always get them about 6 o'clock, and I'm guessing because like these companies that rely so heavily on email marketing, they see this is the time when people are most engaged and likely to click. So just always be observant. We all get emails, so start studying how other people do it and seeing how you can nab these little insights from them. So that's the sort of the days and the times to send. I would also just say a few words on how often to send, especially when it comes to automated emails. Now, we mentioned before about the welcome email. That is probably your best email that you can send. So make sure that's an immediate email. Someone signs up within minutes, get that email to them, especially if you're offering them an incentive for signing up. And then your second email, it really is down to you, but this is what I would recommend, because you don't want to bombard people. You don't want to suffocate them and make them feel claustrophobic. And you don't want to annoy them more than anything, especially if they don't find your first few emails that interesting or engaging. They're very likely to unsubscribe. So what I would say is your second email should follow maybe 2 or 3 days later. Look to add something of value again. Try and give them something. Just reinforce the relationship, show them what you've got to offer. And then a third email could come maybe 4 or 5 days later. subsequent emails, maybe every 6 or 7 days. And it's important to develop a routine. I would just try and keep your email times to the same time every day. Every time you create like an automated email, like for example, my email automated emails go out any day of the week, but always at 6 p.m. Just because if I've got email subscribers in America, that's hitting them at lunchtime. And it's also hitting people in the UK and Europe at like evening time when they're a bit more quieter. Just have a look where people are based and just go by that. That's the main thing to think about. Always think about your audience. The more you can become your audience, the easier you'll find it to do this. Very quickly, I want to mention different types of campaigns. Now, you can send one-off emails, say, this is my book, please buy it. Now, you can also do a series of emails, which are designed to sort of showcase something over several days. So, for example, if you've got a brand new book coming out, you might want to create an email chain. Day one, for example, introduce the readers to the book. Day two, introduce them to a specific character. Day three, share some reviews. Day four, final pitch, for example. Don't make them too long. I've recently just launched a automated campaign, which is designed to promote a brand new web series that I'm writing on Patreon. And I send one chapter every day. And there's 5 chapters in the first one. So there's links there to go and read the second part. And then in each email is a link that they can click to go and read the next chapter immediately, which is all just, again, driving people towards Patreon. And yeah, they're the two main types of emails. So ad hoc, one-off newsletter type emails. I send them every Monday or Sunday, usually with like links to books that updates, news, interviews, and then links to other people's books if some people have asked me to share. So they're the two types of emails. And the last thing I want to say now before we take a quick break and dive into growth and email marketing in 2026 is about tags and segmentation. And this is very, very important when it comes to emails, because not everyone who joins is going to be interested in the same thing. I'll give you an example. So a lot of my mailing list is probably split between people who want to hear about writing, like this podcast, for example, and then people who want to hear about my books and fiction books generally, short stories, stuff like that. Now, if I start emailing one with the other, the unsubscribe rate goes right up because they're not interested. So you can use these tags basically to make sure the most relevant content goes to the those who are going to be interested in it. And you'll find that you're going to get greater engagement as well. People are going to be appreciative of you taking the effort to do this. And platforms like MailChimp make this really easy. So you can actually even integrate this with other platforms so that when people subscribe, a tag gets automatically attached to that person, and then they'll automatically start getting emails. So you don't have to do anything at all. It's very nice. So you can do this with MailChimp contact forms, for example, where you attach tags to certain sort of tick boxes, for example. So if you ask them to choose what they're interested in when they're signing up, if they're interested in writing, if they're interested in getting free books, then relevant tags will correspond with them options. And that's how you can automate it. Some things are a bit more manual, but every platform's different, so you just have to check and see. So we've talked a lot there. We're gonna have to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and dive into how to grow your mailing list, some great hacks for you there, and also looking into the future at the opportunities that are out there for writers and also the challenges ahead.
Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Writers Toolshed. If you'd like to join our writing community on Discord and get access to fantasy writing classes and books on Patreon, check the links in the description. And if you don't want to miss any future episodes, be sure to follow or subscribe. And to support the show, leave a quick rating on Spotify or iTunes and share this episode on social media or with anyone who you think may be interested. Thank you very much for listening.
Welcome back. So probably the biggest challenge for anyone now, once they've got their email set up, is how the hell do you grow it? How do you get people to sign up? My main focus for this year is growth. I just want to grow my mailing list with engaged people as much as possible, because it's how I'm sort of fueling the Patreon growth. That's the main way I'm sort of selling that. So if I don't have any new email subscribers, then Patreon's not going to grow. And that's why I've been putting a lot of focus on growth. So we'll talk about a few of the best methods, the most effective methods that I've been using as well. And the pros and cons, because, yeah, sometimes it doesn't always work out as you hope. So the first thing you want to try and think about, probably for me, is to create reader magnets. Now, a reader magnet is essentially a book that you can give away for free in exchange for someone joining your email list. It's probably the easiest way to get people to sign up, especially if that reader magnet is a nice jazzy looking book with a cool cover. It can be a short story. Just make a quick ebook. It could be a collection of poetry. It could be anything you want. Just something that you can give to people that's going to make them interested. That's the key. And I say a lot of it does come down to the cover. I remember I was using a cover for a story called The Monster of Grug, and it had a big monster on the front of it, and it just got so many email subscribers. It was silly. And people, authors were actually messaging me saying, like, I've received emails from other people who have been sharing this because of the cover. So if you can really spend a bit of time getting the right cover, it does make a big difference. I'll come back to reader magnets in a little bit, but there's another quite effective way to grow a lot of email subscribers. Depending on how you do it, you'll get a certain quality of email subscribers. So at one end, which is, I'd say, is probably the low quality end of the spectrum, is just to do a simple giveaway where you get a bundle of books, stuff that people generally want. So in the past, I've done like a Lord of the Rings box set, Game of Thrones box set, maybe bundle a few things up together with some of my books, and just advertise that on various giveaway and sweepstake websites, as well as places like Reddit and Facebook. And essentially what this is people can join or can sign up for this giveaway. And you put in your terms and conditions that they're going to join your mailing list as a result of the sign up. Obviously, they can opt out at any time, but as a condition for entering the competition, they've got to to join your mailing list. It works really well sometimes. Like, I've had 1,500 subscribers in like 20 days. Some people are really engaged. Obviously, they're there for the books. People just want the free things. And there are a lot of people who never open emails. Their email accounts are just dead, for example. And there can be a lot of spam in there as well. So if you're doing this, you just have to go back and check the engagement rate for people who signed up in this way in probably like maybe 6 months' time, and just try and purge a few people who are just sort of taking up space when they're not really going to do anything at all. The other end of the giveaway spectrum would be to sort of collaborate with fellow authors to get like sort of signed copies of their books, and then do proper promotions on social media and with each other's mailing lists, maybe get other authors involved. The more you could do it, the more genuine it can be and the more collaborative it can be. I think you're more likely to get better quality people because they're already subscribed to author mailing lists, for example. They're going to be looking for more of the same, hopefully. That's what we want. I'm going to try and do that a lot more myself this year on Patreon and social media. If you want a really good example, there was one by Michael R. Miller on Instagram over Christmas where he partnered up with, I think, 12 different authors to give bundles of books away. Yeah, so that was a really good example. So check that out. And linked to this is, or this collaborative element is platforms that have made this super, super easy to network with writers and to gain access to their mailing lists and to share your books with them. A big shout out to Story Origin. The creator Evan Gow, he's been on this podcast in the past. He's created one of my favorite tools. It's to be honest, it's too cheap, Evan. It's too cheap for how good it is. And the equivalent is BookFunnel. I've been using BookFunnel, been getting a good few email subscribers from it, which is wonderful to see. And people who do come from there are really engaged, like they are on Story Origin. I just don't think it's as user-friendly as Story Origin. But what these platforms essentially allow you to do is to create or to join group promotions. So you might get 100 authors all given a book away for free. And the condition is that each one of these 100 authors has to share the giveaway. And you get so many email subscribers. That giveaway could be open for a month, and you're getting 100 authors emailing their subscribers with this link. And then again, it is just a battle for over like catching attention then, because if you've got a lot of books in this giveaway, usually it's just a big page with all of the book covers and there's no text below, so you've got to make sure your cover is on point and stands out. And if you get a good cover, quid's in. BookFunnel's a bit the same, you can do that kind of thing as well. Newsletter swaps are also very good. This is a bit more focused than the sort of group promotions because you're just working on an individual basis with authors. Now, to sign up to these kind of things on Story Origin and BookFunnel, it's really easy. You don't really have to send a lot of messages. You don't have to send any messages to anybody, to be honest. You can just dive in, click a few buttons, and honestly, you can get hundreds of subscribers in a very short space of time and without doing an awful lot of work other than sending emails and collaborating with people. So I highly recommend them for growing your mailing lists. At the moment, these two platforms are my main sources of email subscribers. I am working on other things. I can't do giveaways all the time because I'd be skint. But these two just keep things ticking along. Now, you can also use your website if you've got one. Like my background, like I said before, is in search engine optimization. So historically, my website has been quite useful for growing email subscribers. You get sometimes a few thousand visitors a month, and you can use things like static contact forms, asking people to sign up in exchange for something. You can use pop-ups and slide-ins, which serve similar purposes. But SEO is going through a weird phase. AI has changed how people search, and it's also changed search engines and people clicking on things on websites less, really. And they're also using social media as search engines as well. So I wouldn't spend an awful lot of time on SEO at the moment because it's difficult, but it's worth having a website still. Also, social media, like I mentioned there, just adding sign-up links to your bios and profiles and maybe creating images. Like if you head to the Fantasy Writers Toolshed Instagram, for example, I've created these pinned images which advertise different things that you get when you sign up. And it just reinforces this, the message really, essentially, that people can get more when they do sign up. So yeah, that's always good. And in-person events still really, really good. If you've got the skills to get out there and to sell your books, and even just to stand around and collect people's email addresses. If you go, like for example, I do writing courses in Liverpool libraries sometimes, and generally get a few people signing up to your mailing list off the back of them. You can also do book fairs and bookstalls and get people to sign up there. Do conventions, a bit more expense, a bit more effort involved, but the quality of them people is going to be even greater because they've had a conversation with you in person. So that's the main sort of ways that you can grow your mailing list. It is really difficult, and I am constantly looking for ways to supercharge this and find effective methods of doing this. You can use ads as well to in collaboration with things like Story Origin. So for example, you can create like a landing page to collect emails on Story Origin and Book Funnel, and then use that link on ad campaigns on social media. There are lots of different ways that you can promote the various things that I've mentioned, but it is tricky. You've got to be patient. It takes a while to build your subscribers, and people do unsubscribe as well. And if you get a spike in unsubscribes, look at the reasons why. Don't ignore it. Sometimes your timings may be off. Like, for example, people may be getting too many emails too soon, and it just annoys them. If you feel like they're clogging up their inbox, so you just got to be conscious of those things. But if I do come across any new methods, find success with anything, I will obviously share the insights. 2026 is going to be the year of the email for me, and you never know, towards 12 months time we might come back to this and I might have new things to share. Speaking of the future, there are a lot of trends and a lot of talk and speculation about what may happen to email marketing in 2026. And I've tried to review as much as I can and pull as much relevant data, because we're not really that interested in a lot of e-commerce stuff as writers. But I wanted to share what I've found in relation to selling books and also to make your life a lot easier. Probably we'll start with that. How can we make our lives easier? How can we do a lot of book marketing without the knowledge and the skills that these big companies have, these big publishers have? What can we do? And one of the best solutions right now for me is to turn to AI to get that extra support, to create that assistance, that book marketing expert that can be at your side, that can do some of the jobs that you're not sure about or you don't have the skills for. Like, for example, coming up with ideas for content, that's tricky. Understanding what your readers want to hear about, especially if you're having to do that every week or you're creating long automations, knowing what to write about is tricky. Something else found it quite useful for is analysis of data. So you can get stats back on different campaigns for like open rates and click rates, and you can segment them by like dates, that the historical data from like different months and weeks, for example. And you can get AI to analyze this and to highlight weaknesses as well as positive things. So you can go away and look at what the emails with really high click rates have got, for example, and apply that to the ones that aren't performing as well. And linked to this, it can analyze your workflow. Like, are you sending the right kind of emails at the right times? Do you need to build a relationship up more before you ask them to maybe buy an audiobook, which is a lot more expensive, or subscribe to something, for example? And one of the best features for me that I absolutely love right now is using AI to help create advanced styles with HTML for my emails. And even like using it to create like extra features for emails. Like, I am absolutely useless at coding. It's just a different language to me altogether. And I'm at an age now where I don't think I'm capable of learning all of that. You never know if I had the time, but AI is a lot better at coding. And emails are quite limited in what kind of HTML it can serve, but as long as you make that plainly aware to the AI models that you use, that this is for an email marketing campaign, make sure it's compliant and within the bounds of capabilities for a lot of people's inboxes, and you can create awesome features. You really can. Like, you can, like, if you want to put like an excerpt in, for example, I've done this for like a story. You can create like a nice background. You can have different colored text, different size text. Decorate the text with the for the excerpt, and you just make things stand out so much more. So I would really recommend playing around a little bit with AI and HTML so that you can serve the content in your emails in a much richer way. Now, in terms of a trend that is predicted, now there's going to be an awful lot of implementation by companies of AI models to try and what they would say improve the email experience. And one of the ways is to use AI to tailor content to individual subscribers. Now, I can't see how this could quite work. I imagine it'd be quite invasive. It's not something I'd certainly be comfortable with. But there is talk about AI models essentially changing the content of every email that gets sent to every individual person so that it's unique to them. Like at the moment, the only sort of customization features that email has is like names, for example, as well as like getting emails that are relevant to your interests. But to be able to do this, I can't see quite how it's possible, but there is a lot of talk about that. Now, another feature of this is something that Google actually announced yesterday in an email, the 9th of January, that they now implement AI into people's inboxes. There's talk about Apple doing this as well. And what this end game, I think, is going to be, is they're going to be analyzing how you engage with certain emails. So if you get an email from someone's Patreon, for example, and you always read them emails and you stay on them for a while, you scroll through them, you end up clicking on a link, the AI is going to be analyzing that. And it's going to understand that you like them emails the most. So it's then going to create customizable inboxes where it's going to push the emails that you want to see and repress the other ones. Now, that is going to fundamentally change email marketing. Cold emails, for example, would just die of death, which is what many would say is a good thing. And them sort of newsletters that you can't remember you signing up for, they would just over time filter away. But as an author, if you're like trying to engage with people, it's something that you need to be really conscious of. And if it's going to go down this way, you need to make sure your emails are the most engaging they possibly can. There's talk now of people looking at features like surveys, so stuff that you can encourage people to engage. Q&As, keeping things interactive by using like buttons and being creative about the way emails are structured so that encourages greater scroll depth, and also looking at replies, so encouraging engagements as much as possible. Because again, that's another thing that this AI could look at is the amount of emails that get replied to. It's quite scary. Like I say, there's going to be pros, there's going to be cons, but essentially, what it means for everyone is going to be change. And it's all going to come down to engagement rates. So things like clicks, replies, and scroll time. So just factor that into all your future emails as much as you can. Using things like these HTML elements that I mentioned, definitely one way of doing it. Another trend that has been floated beyond AI and anything like that. Is the newsletter becoming more of a primary publishing channel? Historically, newsletters have been sort of the vehicle to drive traffic. So if you just created a new blog post, for example, or new social media posts, or you've created a new video on YouTube, you'd email your subscribers and ask them to click a link to go and check it out. Instead, with the likes of Substack, people are now creating newsletters where the content is wholly there. I mentioned this before, which sort of relates to this with providing full chapters within emails and providing a series of emails with a new chapter each day. It's a bit similar to that, giving people the full content there and then. And it's a different experience. I mean, it's not obviously going to get as many clicks. I mean, the click rate on those stories, some of them is 0%. But hopefully the scroll time and the scroll depth is going to be good on those. I mean, unfortunately, MailChimp can't measure that, but the hope is there. That's all we can say. So you don't have to obviously publish everything. You can publish a full book through email. Well, fair play to you if you're going to try. I would like to see that. So keep me informed if you do try. But publishing more content through your mailing list could be a greater way of not only one boosting engagement, but like people get wind of that kind of thing, and people will share emails, they'll forward them, and you may get new subscribers. So always at the very bottom of every email, just include a button that says, if you're not subscribed, click here, and then people can easily go to a contact form and sign up. There's another trend that email marketing is linked to in 2026, and that is a move by indie authors to start selling books directly. Now, this has been happening for a few years. Things like Shopify and WooCommerce, Etsy even, TikTok books shops. People have been selling books directly to readers. This is not just ebooks, it's also audiobooks, special edition books and paperbacks. And the likes of Shopify, they've made a lot easier for authors. But the problem is you can pay a lot of money to build a shop. The tricky thing is getting people to come and view it. And the danger is people losing money, which we never want. So one of the ways to avoid this is by creating an email list that serves your shop and drives traffic to your shop. So you do essentially, if you want to go down this direct sales route, you do need a mailing list. I was listening to a podcast by Joanna Penn, the Creative Penn podcast, if you've not checked it out. And she was talking about this as well. And apparently people who have over 1,000 email subscribers, it can see costs covered, let's say, when they sell direct through these platforms like Shopify. That's not to say if you've got less than 1,000 subscribers, you shouldn't do it, because it's always good to build for the future. But make sure you are building and growing your mailing list, because it is going to be your primary source of exposure. And this is something I'm going to look at seriously this year. I will probably do an episode on the podcast once I've done it and experienced it for a while, learn from a few mistakes, and I feel a bit more confident talking about how to sell directly. But I do at the moment do a bit of direct selling on my website. I mean, you may have already seen that I sell writing courses and classes, and that's all available on my website. And books are just an extension of that. It's just work out logistics, isn't it? I think it is the hold up for many writers. How, for example, do you do print on demand shipping? Do you need to find specific printers? How do you ensure the quality is good? What do you do about returns? All these questions, there's a lot to think about when it comes to selling direct, and it's scary sometimes. But if you're going to go down that route, email is going to be the core of your strategy, because it's the relationship between you and your reader, and that's how you essentially get the traffic there and make the sales. So probably the last thing I'll say on this podcast today, as we move into 2026, is to see email as more of a key hub of your strategy, of your audience. It's not just a broadcast tool now. It's a way of connecting and engaging with people and building loyal fans. Someone said, I think it was on the Creative Pen podcast. I think Joanna was quoting somebody else, but she said that you need 1,000 loyal fans to make a living. So try and do all you can to build that 1,000 and be a full-time writer to sell your stories. And email is the way to do it. It's like I say, it's the way of connecting everything together. It's the web, the structure. And it can be the thing that makes the biggest difference in your career. If you've got a really engaged mailing list and there's a lot of people on there, you're always going to sell books. So I hope this episode has been useful. I feel like I've been talking for a long time, so I do apologize if you nodded off. At least it's an aid for sleep, if nothing else. If you're still with me, then I hope you've learned something new. Email is going to be different in 2026 by the looks of it, especially as AI starts to filter into everything. But we can use it to our advantage, and we want to try and make our emails as engaging as possible, get them click rates as high as we can. And that way, once the AI overlords infiltrate the inbox, then we should be actually rewarded rather than penalized. And don't forget, if you want to dive in more to the things like the setup that we were speaking about the first half of this episode, then do check the link in the description to see my full class on email marketing. It's totally free to listeners of the podcast. You can watch it on YouTube at your leisure. It's about 90 minutes long, loads of tips in there, and you can get resources as well, such as all the slides and a few more guides, different aspects on this side of marketing. So, yeah, thank you again for listening. Again, do check out Patreon and subscribe for early access to future episodes. There's going to be a lot of interesting guests on the show. I'm excited to talk with them and to share those conversations with you. Hopefully, lots more insights for you to take away and apply. All the very best with the writing for 2026. Thank you again for listening, and keep on scribbling.